So, every year we present a lot of this materials at conferences and workshops, at steering committee meetings for all the databases. So we think we have, and you know, we get a lot of feedback, we think we have a pretty good handle of what we should do next. And so what we're looking at is a bit more feedback from you guys, and we're going to be having a series of continued listening events, online events that we're going to be doing in the next month or two to just get a bit more feedback than we're getting here. But we have had that. We have had a lot of feedback over the course of this grant. So right now we're just finishing up year four. At the end of September, I think, will be year four. And then we've got one more year of this, but you submit the grant a year ahead of the renewal. So this is the NRSP, the homepage of the NRSP website that we have here. This is, if you are not familiar with NRSP 10, this is where you become, you go from here to various tools, to the databases. Where you work in a particular database, you just generally go to the database of choice or the tool of choice. Although, I mean, this is a little bit about what we do with NRSP 10 and what we're going to be doing next, but we also do some other things that, that can't readily be done for the community. So, for example, that map that you're seeing there is a plant breeding capacity survey that NRSP 10 conducted on behalf of the Plant Breeding Coordinating Committee. And so that's just a resource that was not available to people and was useful for moving forward for lots of reasons. This was the original vision of NRSP 10, and basically it was to enhance the existing databases we'd already developed, these five databases that were underserved crops, and since there's no line item money, any money we get for these databases was through competitive funding or through some support from industry, and we've actually been very lucky with the amount of industry support we get for these databases. But again, not any long-term kind of plan, and so the ability to be able to keep good staff and postdocs for 5 years and say we've got this work for you for 5 years, we've got the money for 5 years is really critical. Getting people that have the skill set we need to do this is so hard to do. And so where you can and where they're wanting to stay with you, you want to pay them decent money, good living, and retain them as much as possible. And so that was the five databases, mostly for specialty crops, but also for cotton as one of the underserved crops. And then as part of that, as we said, develop this triple platform, you know, for not just for our own use, but for other crops and other organisms that want to use this platform. So we're not all reinventing the wheel. And at the same time, take advantage of all these people that are developing modules so that we don't have to develop them. And that's been a really valuable component of this project. And then I have there a couple of things here, Ag Biodata. So basically, the Ag Biodata is a consortium of all the major agricultural biological, genomic, genetic, and breeding databases in the US. It's over 30 databases in the US, some foreign ones as well, and more than 100 scientists. And we've come together over the last 2 to 3 years to try and uniform the standards that we're applying in this database, how we can work together, how we can be interoperable databases, and to basically be more resource efficient because there's a limited pool of money. And we want the quality of the data that we're generating and the quality of the tools to be high. And by working together, we certainly have improved that but quite a bit. And we've just a white paper, a 50-page white paper, which has been accepted for publication on this whole concept of how we work together in data and on our biodata. And we continue that development part. The other component of this NRSP 10 vision is really we have to develop some kind of mechanism for these databases to be sustainable. And so that's been a big component of what we've been trying to do. Part of the Ag Biodata is towards that in the sense that if we're all working together, these 30 databases, we have a much stronger collective voice in perhaps figuring out ways where we can be sustainable, as in you may all come in at one point and we may be all paying for access to these 30 databases. Whereas if you were asked to pay for access to perhaps one of these databases, it might not be something you might be willing to do. So those of you who are familiar with the Phoenix Bioinformatics and TAIR, they're a good example of what you perhaps could do if you're a fantastic database like TAIR with a huge user base, and which not all of us have, but collectively we do have a strong user base. Okay, Mike, let me spit up. And so the other thing to mention about this is it's very stakeholder-driven, this project. And really stakeholder-driven. Stakeholder from the scientist perspective, but also from industry perspective. That was been a very important thing. And then the other thing about this project, 4 years into it, we've been able to go out and get another $8 million in funding to support what we're doing in this project. So NSF have supported it, USDS, CRI have supported it, and other USDA projects have supported it. And so it really, Triple especially has become the new plot, rather than if you're going to develop a new database, that would be your, it should be your platform of choice because it's being co-developed by so many people. Okay, next 5 years. Those will be October 14th. So we want to continue expanding these online databases. These databases are only useful if they're up to date. So that effort to curate the data, to collect the data, get the data into the database, and integrate that data, that has to be a major effort in this going forward. And what we do actually in our program is we use a lot of undergraduate data curators. We train them, pay them well, and that really reduces our costs for us compared to having postdocs have to do that kind of work. And we want to continue to provide support for Triple adoption. The more support we provide, the better new modules out there we can utilize. And we want to enhance Triple BIM. As Cameron mentioned there, we showed you with the global performance prediction. We're also going to add GWAS tools. And we're getting prepared for how we're going to deal with phenomic data. So not just phenomic data for the individual breeder, but how are we going to utilize that data? Or how can we utilize that data going forward in other components for other people, either anonymously, such as we remove prediction tools, or making that data available that other people can use it. And with phenomic data, there's still that component of what's actually useful and what can you actually use in your breeding decisions. And so that's still something that's being developed. But as a database, we have to be prepared for how we're going to put that data into the database. We don't want to be doing it 5 years from now when the data's out there, or the data's not being able to be used by people because we haven't thought about how we're going to put them in this database and what tools we're going to make available to the users. And we're going to enhance Triple Map. Suk mentioned Triple Map. It's a genetic map viewer. We're going to add in the genomic part so it can be integrated with genomic data. So those of you who are familiar with the NCBI map viewer, essentially what this does is take that same kind of functionality as well, but a bit more expanded because we've got all the trait data in there and the QTL data. It's not just marker data or gene data. And we're going to continue to update this genome sequence annotation server. I mean, it's developed, but we don't want it to become out of date. So if a new annotation tool becomes available, we want to plug that into this tool so that people have the most up-to-date tools to do their genome annotation. And everyone is, there is so much genomes, so many genomes been sequenced now for anything you want out there. And so that to have a tool that you can just readily go in, it can check your assembly, it can do your annotation, it can check the quality of your annotation based on housekeeping genes, that kind of thing, and it's a very useful tool for users to have. And partly because all these different tools use different formats, this takes care of all that for you. One thing that we've been talking about with our community a lot is to develop basically a QTL version of this GenSoft. So basically all the QTL tools that people use, combine them into an online package that would be easy for them to use. They can extract whatever data they want from the database, so that would be a standalone as we have with GenSAS, but it's also integrated within your database. So we have GenSAS, we've got a GenSAS Lite version coming that's integrated, and with the QTL one, we do the same sort of thing. So again, you wouldn't have to go and use Unix, command line tools. You have it in an online package that would be available. And again, you can plug in new tools as they become available. And then add additional tools and resources as requested by the community. So if there's little projects people want done or just new tools they want in the database, we can respond to that and try and do that fairly quickly when it becomes a high priority. Right now we're creating a database for the tree, the fruit and nut. So this is a paper-based version. We're taking that, putting it into the database, making it searchable for all the new varieties that are released. And that's going to be available. And again, because we're doing it in this platform, say, for example, someone wants to take, say the fruit and nut people want to take this and put it somewhere else, we can give that to them to take. It's a platform that is portable. And so you make it, you can give it away to them. If they ultimately want to go and manage it for themselves, we can do that fairly readily. And then our big plan is kind of committed. We, by 5 years, so 6 years from now, at the end of the 5 years of this project, we want to be sustainable. We want to have come up with a mechanism for the projects that we work on here to be supported. Now, that supporting, in other words, we're not going to come back to NRSP10 and ask for another 5 years. That money should go to other new projects that people want to do. But but we're going to come up with a mechanism of how we can be fully sustainable. And it can be a mixed model. So we, you know, we'll still go after competitive funding. There might be a charge for something depending on what we do within the database structure or the tool-based structure. So, for example, companies might get charged to use them. Everything right now is free. We do, but there might be a mixed sense to say, well, the companies are using all those resources. The Chinese are using it on a huge scale. There's no contribution to support these resources from outside the US. So we need to be thinking about how we do that. And that, again, it's not just our databases. This is across the biodata group. And we're all thinking as one collective voice on how we can address these issues of sustainability. So we, our plan is to be sustainable in 6 years. Sue's looking at me. But that's what we're going to. We should be sustainable. We need to be sustainable, I think, in 6 years. And so these are all our funding supporters of these databases and these tools.
So are there any suggestions, questions?
Let me go back to what our thing, our plan was.
That people have. We do need to finish up here because this room needs, other people are going to be trying to get in here. And what we may want to do, if there's significant discussions, to just move it out into the hallway.
And the other thing I should mention, if you're not, if you're working a particular crop or one of our databases, crops.